Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring with me the fraternal greetings of the Hastings Ecclesia to you all this morning. I'm very pleased to be able to meet with you around the table of the Lord once again. Our theme for this morning is Light in the Darkness. What a stupendous claim we have read this morning in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There are no exceptions. It seems a man or woman is in one group, light, or in the other, the darkness. Let us imagine the spiritual darkness that existed in Israel when Jesus came into the world and spoke these words. Jesus spoke, as we have in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 14, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus spoke of the scribes and Pharisees, that they were blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. With this tyranny of darkness upon the earth, God said, let there be light. And the word he spake became flesh, and a light came into the world. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and at verse 9, we read, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Rotherham translates it, the real light that enlighteneth every man was coming into the world. As we go on to read in verse 9, He came. And at verse 5 we read, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light cut into the darkness incisively like a knife. A bright light in the midst of the moral darkness of men. There could be no hope of life unless light was brought into the darkness. What then is the source of the light? We turn to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 5 we read, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Brothers and sisters, we think of the physical glory of God. Dwelling in the light, no man can approach unto. We think of God's character. Pure, holy, and perfect in every way. And so we see God's absolute physical and moral perfection. Here then is the light. Moses asked to see the glory of God. As we read in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, verse 18. "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." He was shown something of the divine physical and moral glory. But this revelation was incomplete. He could not see God's face and live. That is, he could not fully behold the divine glory. God's moral glory was described to Moses in Exodus chapter 34 and at verse 5. "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth." Merciful, gracious. However, words cannot convey the full meaning of these. What is justice? What is mercy? We cannot tell unless we see them in action in human life. And so at the appointed time, God sent his Son. The light walked and shone among the streets and hills of Galilee. The people heard his gracious words and marveled. Never man spake like this man. Saw his good works and glorified God. Beheld his compassion and long suffering. Thy sins be forgiven thee, as we had read for us today in today's reading in Mark chapter 2. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the true light, because in him the manifestation of the light, which is God, reached its culminating glory and was realized to the full. He is the true, meaning perfect, complete, real. Philip asked Jesus a similar question to that of Moses in John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? We note carefully the reply Jesus gave him in verse 9. Those attributes of mercy, justice, goodness, and truth were perfectly displayed by a man who lived under the conditions of ordinary human life. Here is the true light that shone in the darkness. And we listen to his words to the Jews of his day. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. What we have to do is to look at that light and walk in it, that we may be children of light. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 8 we read, the Apostle says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Revised Version says, Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light, the fruit of the light. proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Revised Standard Version. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. We must make no mistake about this. Light and darkness were divinely separated at the beginning. There can be no fellowship, no association of light with darkness. The two alternatives are put before us unmistakably. On the one hand, God, light. On the other hand, the world, the darkness. There is no medium, nothing between them. He that is not with me is against me, Jesus said. We shall be found in the day of discernment as being in the light or in the darkness. Our natural tendency is to prefer the darkness to the light. We dislike the sifting, testing, reproving action of the light. But we have been greatly privileged in being called out of the darkness to God's marvelous light. As the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, the Apostle says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The light which has been shone upon us by God is not just for us to observe, to squint into its brilliance. Having seen the light, we should become the children of light. Jesus exclaimed, as we read in the chapter today, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 8. To his disciples he said, in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, and at verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world." Here Jesus couples believers with himself as light givers. Brothers and sisters, what a responsibility and what a privilege we have. We, sinful men and women, must show those amongst whom we live and work the light of God's glorious character in our ordinary day-to-day lives. Can we do it? Can we be lights in the darkness around us so that men and women can see something of Christ in our everyday lives. We can, provided we live in the light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is part of God's plan that in the time between Jesus' ascension to heaven and his return, those who are Christ should be lights in the darkness, just as Jesus was, and just as the Word of God is. We have a part to play right now in God's purpose. Do we shrink away from this thought? God is concerned with individuals. He chose the prophet Jonah and ordered him to go to Nineveh. He directed Philip to go and preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. He directed Peter to go to the household of Cornelius. We may be a Philip or a Peter, helping to influence those individuals in the world who are looking for the light but need someone to guide them. If our light is to shine, we must feed regularly on the Word of God, and its influence must be seen in our way of life. Peter and John, before the council, as we read in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John before the council. In Acts chapter 4 and at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We see what things were the light of David's life. In the beautiful Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Word of God is light because it reveals him who is light, and it reveals how we can be like him. Without that word and without that law, a guide for life, everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes, and the result will be thick darkness. Remember, we can be in darkness and know it, and not know it. We can be so caught up with the things of the world that we cannot see clearly the light in the darkness. Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, in verse 18, Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Rotherham says, "But we all, with unveiled face, receiving and reflecting the glory of the Lord." Receiving and reflecting the glory of the Lord. It is only by living in the light which Jesus creates for us, by living in Him, by feeding on God's word, that we are able to shed forth the light of the truth which He personified. We cannot shed one gleam, one single ray of light, unless we ourselves are walking as children of light, because we cannot reflect that which is not shining on us. The Gospel of Luke, in chapter 11, in verse 34, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness." A single eye will give singleness of purpose. When focused upon God and His Word, it will flood the body with light and help develop a character reflecting His likeness. We may have the enlightening knowledge of the truth within us, but if this knowledge does not come through in our actions, we are deceiving ourselves. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2, and verse 9, the apostle says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." There we have disclosed the fundamental characteristic of the light. If we love one another as God loved us, we abide in the light and bring forth its fruits. If we have not love one to another, we are still in the darkness, and our claim to belong to the light is an idle boast. We notice the Apostle John in verse 8 says, Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Or the real light is already shining. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, in the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Brothers and sisters, notice the threefold statement that our forgiveness of sins and fellowship with the Father, his Son, and with each other depends upon if we walk in the light. We remember in the partaking of the emblems the death of the Lord Jesus, and that occasion witnessed darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. It was a dramatic reminder that death is darkness. The evil deed of the wicked hands was the expression of the sin that the Lord had come to take away in his death. The very light of life seemed to have gone out. We remember also his resurrection. Here was the light they could not possibly extinguish. Jesus could say to his persecutors before his death, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Their glory and triumph was for a very limited time. His is for eternity. He looked to this time, the day that Abraham saw through faith and was glad. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, as we read in Psalm 118 in verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have in the book of Revelation a picture of the Father's house in which he will dwell on the earth. Each stone of that building is a believer who has in his or her life reflected something of the moral glory of God into the darkness around them. These stones then will fully reflect the light. The divine glory will shine from them in all its beauty. Brothers and sisters, our duty is to keep our own lamps from failing or perhaps being blown out by concentrating on the glory of the age to come and avoiding the inevitable potholes strewn in our path by using the light provided by Yahweh in Christ. Thank you.